Thank you for a child who reminds us to cheer for you. What a great reminder. Father, thank you for those who pen words to songs that help us to express our faith in you, that help us to adore you, to lift you up, to exalt you. And Father, we are thankful for that. Thank you for blessing our church with people with the skill to play instruments, with lovely voices that sing on key and hit the notes. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts from your word today, that you would anoint me for the preaching of your word this morning. And Father, as we come in a little bit to your table, to fellowship together with you around the meal you have given us to remember your Son and His sacrifice for us, we thank you for that. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Remain standing, if you would, for the reading of God's Word from Mark chapter 12 this morning. Mark chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 12. It says, "And they were seeking to seize him, and yet they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke the parable against them, and so they left him and went away. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, 'Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll tax to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?' But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, 'Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at.' They brought one, and he said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' And they said to him, 'Caesar's.' And Jesus said to them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And they were amazed at him." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to take a little departure from our series on Philippians today for a sermon that God has laid on my heart and put it together very easily and quickly, and I was thankful for that. But as we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about this subject, how do I vote? What does this passage of Scripture say to us? It says, just some things briefly, that it captures the challenge for us that we live in two kingdoms. We are citizens of an earthly kingdom because we are physical beings and we live here. But as children of God, we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And we already belong to His kingdom. So we are in this world, but not of it. We are simply aliens in this world. But we are to be the very best we can be in both kingdoms. We're to be the best we can be in God's kingdom as His child, walking with Him, living with Him, serving Him. But we are also, we still live in this earthly kingdom. And as we live here in this earthly kingdom, how do we live out our faith in this place? And how do we represent Him? And we have obligations to both kingdoms. And part of that obligation that we have in both kingdoms, we live those out. And then for us as citizens of this earthly kingdom and as those in America, then we have an obligation to vote. The freedom that we have been given to do that and follow through with that. Now, if you think I'm going to endorse any candidate today, you're mistaken. There are laws against doing so in our country, whether I agree with those or not, but there are laws against doing so. Besides that, I think it would be an abuse of my position as a pastor to say that you ought to vote for any particular person. Matter of fact, somebody asked me about politics when I was in the process of coming here, and I said, you have to remember, I pastor Republicans and Democrats and others, and I don't want to ostracize any of those from my leadership as a pastor or my care as a pastor, so I'm not going to do that. But I do believe it is my responsibility as a pastor to help us to think about, from a Christian viewpoint, how do we live in this kingdom, and how do we live in this world, and how do we think about these things? Now, if you think I'm going to tell you how to vote on any of the other issues, such as voter ID or the Rochester tax, again, you are mistaken. I'm not going to do that either. I will tell you that you should vote yes for the marriage amendment. It's a moral issue. It's a biblically clear issue. We can take a biblical stand on that very easily. And the church needs to speak on these issues because we have a moral obligation and we have moral authority from God's Word to be able to do so. And we ought not give that away just because we might offend somebody with God's Word. Now, we do not need to be offensive in how we do that. Too much of the time, I think we have lost our opportunity to say things to the world when we needed to address them biblically from God's Word, but we've diminished our ability to say it because we've been offensive. Sometimes the Scripture offends me because it calls me out. It says to me things I don't want to hear because it reminds me I'm a sinner and I'm short of what God expects from me. And that's offensive to me because maybe sometimes I like some of my sin. And maybe sometimes you like yours too, and it confronts me and it reminds me that's not the way I'm supposed to live. But it's a completely different matter when we are offensive with how we say that and how we talk to people. And for some people, you're going to offend them no matter what, just simply because you represent something different than they do. But we need to speak what we say from God's Word with love and kindness and gentleness, refusing to turn to anger, even when we are provoked to do so because people disagree with our views. We need to not do that. So, how do I vote? How do I vote? Well, the first recommendation I have for you about how do you vote is to do so on your knees. To do so on your knees. Now, I'm not saying when you get in the voting booth, you get down on the knees, on your knees. Besides that, the tile concrete floor might hurt, and the person behind you might be glad for you to get out of the way so they can vote. But yet, symbolically, we vote on our knees and we can spend time on our knees before we get there. We must pray about what we're going to do and about how we're going to vote and what decisions do we make. We need to pray for America. We need to pray that revival will come to America, that revival will come to the church in America, that there would be a renewing spirit of God blowing through the church in America. We desperately, desperately need that. The church in America needs revival. For God to come and to grab a hold of His people and to shake us and to remind us that while we are His people, we have walked away from Him in many regards. And we need to be drawn back to Him and to conformity to His lifestyle and to conformity to the Scriptures and to live in the way that He wants us to live. And we need a renewing spirit that comes sweeping through the church in America, and we need to pray for that. We need to pray for spiritual awakening in America. We need to pray that lost people by the thousands will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That has happened in this nation before. That has happened more than once before. But it's been a long time since we have seen a great awakening move through this country. And we need a spiritual awakening to bring lost people to Jesus Christ. We need to pray about those things. We need to pray for a change in the church. We need to pray for lost people to be saved. We need to pray for America. So how do we vote? We need to vote on our knees. But one of the other things we need to remember as well is that we need to pray for rulers. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 4 say, "First of all then, I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." We need to pray for all men. We need to pray for all people. You may think, well, man, that is just an overwhelming task. How in the world do I pray for 7 billion people on this planet? A lot of people. How do I do that? Well, you can start by praying for one person that you know that doesn't know Jesus. That's a good place to start. Pray for that person. and ask God to be at work in their lives and ask God to change them. And if we all did that, you know, I'm going to guess with this number of people in this room, we might pray for some of the same people, but we're going to pray for a lot of different people. What a great progress we begin to make all of a sudden. To pray for kings and all who are in authority. We don't have a king in this country. We do have a president. We have governors. We have mayors. We have representatives. We have senators. We have police chiefs. We have school officials. We have all of those kinds of things. We can pray for them. And there's a reason for it, so that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life. I don't know about you, but there seems to be nothing tranquil and quiet about the political process anymore. And that there would be godliness and dignity, and that seems to have escaped the process, and maybe it's because we don't pray enough. But it says to us that it's good and acceptable in the sight of God if we do these things, if we pray for them in this way, because God desires that all people be saved. Why would God put His Son on a cross and not desire for all people to be saved? But yet He's made demands. If you're going to be saved, then you're going to have to repent. And you're going to have to trust in My Son, Jesus Christ. But He has given Jesus so that all people can be saved. And He desires that all come to Him through repentance and to know the knowledge of the truth. But it begins as we are on our knees praying about what will happen. Second, vote with your Bible in your hand. Vote with your Bible in your hand. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Now that he was writing to Timothy as a pastor. And all pastors, all of us need to know that verse of Scripture very well and to know that we have a responsibility to be workmen who do not need to be ashamed about how we handle the word of truth. But all of us, certainly as Baptists, and we exercise the priesthood of the believer, and that all of us have a right to be able to pick up God's Word and read it for ourselves and trust the Holy Spirit to illuminate to our understanding and to help us to know how it applies to our lives. And as we look at it and we read it, we can trust that each of us can handle the Word of Truth, accurately handling the Word of Truth, that all of us can do that. All of us need to read and trust the Holy Spirit to speak to us from His Word and about what His Word says and about how does His Word apply to life situation. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." I mean, God's Word is there. It is here for us so that we are equipped for every good work. It equips us to know how do we handle and how do we make decisions in the political process and as Christians who exercise our faith by out in the public square by going to vote. And Scripture can speak to us and it helps us to know and helps us to understand. And so we can look to the Scriptures in this regard. And we need to know, well, what does the Bible say about issues? What does the Bible say to us about the issues on which we vote? As you evaluate a candidate, what does the Bible say to you? Where the Bible does not speak directly to an issue, to a matter, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom based on the knowledge of God's Word in the issue that you face. We deal with a number of things that we don't find things directly, didn't address directly from the Scriptures, but yet the Scripture gives us principles and wisdom and gives us insight. And as we are on our knees with our Bible in our hands before the Lord, now the Holy Spirit will give us guidance and direction and instruction about what to do. And sometimes these matters are rather complex, quite frankly. It's not real easy. For instance, I've got more than one for instance, but for instance, President Obama is a professing Christian but holds beliefs that are in contradiction to the Bible. He's publicly come out affirming same-sex marriage. He's obviously in favor of abortion. And he has sought to put in place a medical policy in this country that demands insurance coverage from any organization that, even if they have religious reasons for not doing so, that they have to provide birth control, which then actually is a policy that denies religious freedom. You see those things. But on the other side, we have Governor Romney, who is a Mormon. And Mormons are not classified as Christians, although some do classify them in that way. They can, by certain standards, be classified as a cult. Yet he acknowledges Jesus as the Savior of all mankind. But he is a Mormon, and a practicing Mormon, and a very devout Mormon. And when you begin to look at those things, you would realize there are some truths that they hold. There are some things for them that they hold that are in contradiction to what we understand from God's Word. One of which is, do not add to God's Word. And they've got a whole other book or two or three or four, actually. We don't know here much about some of the others that they hold to and practice to. That, quite frankly, really ought to be a rather complex issue, and that's something you ought to pray through. There are other issues, voter ID. What does that mean? How do we do that? I don't find anything in scriptures talking about voter IDs, but how do we deal with that issue? Or in Rochester, they want to raise the taxes, and how do you deal with that issue? Really and truly, all of those for us as Christians are issues for us that we need to consider and understand from a moral viewpoint, from a biblical viewpoint, from doing the right thing as Christians. In following our faith and trusting in the Lord to lead us and to guide us through that process. And to understand, whether we like it or not, sometimes even among us, we'll come down on different sides of the issue. And you may want to scratch your head at the other one who looks at it differently than you do and go, how in the world did you get there? And they may be looking at you and going, how in the world did you get there? But know that you're brothers and sisters in Christ, and there ought to be room for us to disagree over some of those matters and still love on each other and care about each other and do ministry work together, even if we disagree, even if you don't understand why. But it helps if you start on your knees and you have your Bible in your hand. Number three is be well informed. Have you read the party platforms? I would encourage you to do that. I will tell you, it's not real exciting reading because I've read them. Just so you'll know, I'm not asking you to do something I didn't take the time to do myself. And I will tell you, it's not just real exciting reading. But it is informative at times. It's interesting, without taking a highlighter to them and all of that kind of stuff. It's amazing how some of the same language shows up saying the same things in both party platforms. It's interesting to read them and realize, I agree with parts of this and parts of this on both party platforms. And then you're going on both party platforms going, well, I don't agree with that. I don't think this is right. I disagree with that. It's kind of like when you go out shopping for a house. Valerie and I said this more than once when we were looking for a house. If we could take these parts to this house and this part from this house and these parts from this house and we put them all together on the lot that we wanted, wow, what a deal. I haven't found a house I could do that with. Anyway, not to mention all of those people I've known over the years who built the house they wanted and, about 2 months in going, oh, I wish we had done that differently. Anyway, so it usually doesn't work that way. Anyway, but you're reading these party platforms and you're going, if I could take all of these parts and put them together and leave out all the rest of it, I'd really like this. Unfortunately, you can't do that, but it does help you to be informed if you've read them. Watch the debates. I know, it's not my favorite activity either. Besides that, it's my favorite time of the baseball season. We have gotten to the playoffs, never mind the fact that my team has already gone home from the playoffs. But better the first round than watch them lose the World Series again. I'd rather watch the baseball playoffs, quite frankly. It's a whole lot more fun, and maybe somebody will beat the Yankees once again and the Cardinals, and they'll all go home. Sorry, I've just offended some of you. Sorry. I've seen the Cardinals win enough lately. All of those kinds of things. I'd just rather watch that stuff than I would a political debate. But you learn stuff. I'll be honest, I watched it the other night because Tanner had to watch it for a class project and he could get extra credit. And so he watched, and he watched with great interest and intrigue, and he was taking notes, and I just kept watching when he was done. It helps you to be informed. It helps you to know. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "And of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times, with knowledge of what Israel should do, their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command." People who understood the times. We need help understanding our times in which we live. They are hard to understand at times. I don't understand why people do some of the things they do that to me are so plain and clear. You may have the same issue, and we might even be looking at the same issue and come down on different sides and going, how do people get here? But we need to know these things. We need to know that the Spirit of God will provide, will show us what to do and what we need to do. It helps if we study God's Word. It helps if we pray. And as we look to God for the answers. When you have gone looking in God's Word and you have sought the Father, keep your eyes open, your ears attuned, your heart sensitive to what He will say to you, because He cares about these matters. He is concerned about them, and He will speak to your heart about them. So be well informed. But how do I vote? Vote without fear. Vote without fear. You have to remember whose you are. You have been saved by Jesus Christ. You belong to God the Father. You are His child. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're an alien here. Despite what some people say, when we vote November the 6th, or if you vote early, it is not the vote to end all votes. It is not necessarily the major turning point in history. History will determine those things, and you cannot decide that at the moment. But fear in the Lord is our priority. That we would know the Lord, that we would fear the Lord. Without fear in the Lord, we are not prepared to be good citizens of this earthly kingdom. Whether your candidate wins or loses, your king is still on the throne. Whether your party wins or loses, the Savior has won the victory. Whether your issue passes or fails, the giver of the law upholds his standards by His grace and mercy. Jeremiah 5, verses 22 and following says, Do you not fear Me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in My presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain in its seasons, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Wow. We don't want that to be us. So instead of being fearful of the circumstances in which we live and the fearful of all the stuff that's going on, let us, in right relation to God, live in fear of God, with love and awe and reverence and respect and trembling before Him, seeing that we have this incredible God, describes it and puts it this way. Look, I gave a border to the sea. There is sand. It may foam and it may roar, but it will not cross over. If it does, it will only last a little while, and it goes back. God's got that all under control. But we have to be a people who are not stubborn and rebellious in heart. But we are humbled before the Lord, and we are sensitive to Him and to what He is doing to us, and that we would fear the Lord our God and trust God. Don't be afraid of what is happening. There's no need to be afraid of the circumstances in which we live. You have a Savior who died on a cross and was buried in the tomb, and that tomb is empty and He is alive. You have no reason to be afraid of anything. No reason to be afraid of anything. But also, how do you vote? Vote with hope in the Lord. Do you know that the King of Kings has been the king through all 44 presidents? He's been the king through every governor of Massachusetts. He has been the king through every king that's ever lived. He is the King of Kings. No one will unseat him. Presidents have come and presidents have gone. I'm going to guess there might be one, because there's always one. But I'm going to guess most of the people in the room can't name all 44 of them. We have forgotten them. They have gone the way of history. But God created the time in which we live and has always been. Jesus has been the king since the beginning and always will be the king. So have hope in the Lord. Our hope cannot be in these earthly things. Our hope cannot be in political candidates. When we can hope they'll do a good job and we hope that they will represent the people, and I have doubts about how well they represent the people anymore, any of them, but we can hope that they will represent the people, but we can know and we can trust and we can have confidence in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. Not in a president, not in a governor, not in a representative, not in an amendment vote. Don't trust in those things. Trust in the Lord. Have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Man, we need to know that. We need to know that He does these things. We need to trust in Him far more than we trust in a president. We need to trust in Him far more than any other elected official. Trust in the Lord. Have confidence in Him. That there are too many Christians running scared that the election will not go the way they want it to go, and they have the attitude of, whatever will I do if my candidate isn't elected? That is not the expression of a faithful Christian who has faith in the Lord. Our God is bigger than any election. Our God is bigger than any president. But we need to act like our God is bigger than any of these things. We need to have confidence and trust in our God that He is bigger than any of these matters and trust in Him to care for those matters. If you're of voting age, I hope you're planning on voting. We're trying to get all of our stuff done so we can vote. But I hope that you will vote with a hope in the Lord. I hope you will vote prayerfully. I hope you will vote with your Bible in your hand, understanding and evaluating the issues in which we have to vote about by God's Word. Asking the Spirit of God to give you wisdom and the knowledge and understanding so that you can make wise decisions and know what to do. That you'll have a fear in the Lord and not a fear of circumstances. And then it's another way for you to live out your faith, for all of us to live our faith. It's an expression of hope in our Lord, who has given us a great privilege to live in this country where we have the freedom that we actually get to go have a say on who's going to represent us and who's going to do all of these things and some of that stuff. And I don't like the circumstances in which we live any more than you do. But we have to realize no politician is going to change it. Only God Almighty can change people's hearts. And that's what we need in this country, is we need a change of people's hearts. There needs to be a revival in the church in America, and there needs to be spiritual awakening. And when those things happen, a lot of this other stuff will go away. And it doesn't matter who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, whether people's hearts will be changed or not. The only thing that matters is the one who sits on the throne of heaven and has sent a Savior to die on a cross for every last one of us. He died for everyone. Not everyone's going to respond. And because of that, people's hearts can be changed. And people that hold immoral views, and people who bash people who hold moral views based upon the Scriptures, God can change their hearts. Not a president, not an elected official, not an amendment. But our God can. And He's our God, and we need to trust Him and not run around being scared about the circumstances in which we live, but have a trust in our God to do what only our God can do. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we are so very thankful that we can turn to You and trust in You and have confidence in You, Father, about these things and about these matters. You're a good God. You're a gracious God. And we thank You for that. Lord, we thank You that we have the great privilege in this country to be able to vote. And that we have the great privilege of allowing our faith in You to guide who we are and what we do, even when it comes time to vote. But also, Father, help us to have our trust in You and not in politicians. Oh, Father, may we pray for them. I know for one, I need to pray for them much more than I do. And may we pray for them, that we would plead with You to change their hearts to be conformed to Your Word. But Father, may we trust in You because You have been around forever. Elected officials have come and gone, and You are still in control. And may we live like it. May we speak like it. May we act like it. Father, we love You and we thank You for loving us. In Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing. As we do that, the ushers are going to come. We're not going to say another prayer for the offering today, but the ushers will come. And as we begin to sing this song, we'll take the offering. And then when we get done with this one, we're going to go right into another song. So let's all stand together. And then after that song, we'll come to the thanks. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And He said to them, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Jesus took that last Passover meal with the disciples and transformed it into an ongoing supper for us. As it says, "This do in remembrance of Him." As we gather, we get to remember Jesus. We get to remember a Savior died on a cross for you. Have you sat and contemplated that for a while lately? He died in your place. He died in my place. I'm thankful for that. We have a Savior who's lived so, and as He lives in us, we don't have to live with fear. We don't have to be fretful, but rather we can be a people of faith. We are His. I can't imagine what it was like for those disciples, even though He had tried to warn them and He had tried to instruct them, what it was like when Jesus died.
And then all scurried away. You know, you'd like to think, well, I wouldn't have run off. But I'm pretty sure that's just my pride speaking. My fear is I would have been just like all the rest of them. I would have scurried away too. But in all their shortcomings, which reminds us of our shortcomings, they were still the ones he spoke to and said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He is the one we remember. We remember him first with the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this bread, which reminds us of our Savior Jesus, who lived in flesh and blood on this earth and bore the pain for us that was involved in being a sacrifice for us in His body. And as we take of this bread today, we remember. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and offered thanks for it as well. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. It reminds us of the blood of Jesus. That blood that was poured out with great intentionality. Poured out so that by His blood our sins could be washed away. We could be made clean and pure and holy vessels. Father, that you have washed away our sin by the blood of your Son, Jesus, we thank you this day. As we take of this cup, we remember what Jesus did for us, what it cost him, his life that we might have life, life to the full, abundant life, and then we could live for him in this day and age and at this time. And Father, empower us, Lord, to do so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And they drank the cup. Thank you, men. You may return. The closing words of the book of Jude say this to us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen. May God be with you as you go. Thanks for being here today.